Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is John Johnson. I'm talking tonight to David Noble. I'm in Glasgow, and David's in Dalgety Bay in Fife, and you're listening to Radio Edutalk. We're broadcasting live, but you can also listen to the podcast later on. If you've never listened before, Radio Edutalk is just educational chatter from various guests we usually invite on a Wednesday evening. We haven't got a guest this evening, so it's just David and myself having a chat about this and that. Maybe before we start, it's worth having a wee look at what's been going on in Radio Edutalk in the last week or so, as well as the sort of radio side. On Edutalk, we podcast various audio files that are submitted by very many people, and this has been quite a good week from an Edutalk point of view. We've had a lot of Edutalk tagged audio boo files, a big bunch from Ian in Sheffield, who's working his way through 365 different Web 2 tools. He's now got to the letter V. We've had an audio boo by Nick Hood, another teacher, talking about it's the teacher's fault. And as usual, Nick is great value. It really stimulates and makes you think. And we've also got a fairly regular contributor from Alan O'Donoghue, who goes by the Twitter and audio boo tag of Techno Teacher, and he's talking in a series. He's on now year 10 GCSE computing lesson 19, and he's been talking about introducing programming to various classes on audio boo. So how's yourself, David?
Hey, I'm very well, thanks, John. Yeah, and just apologise to everybody that there wasn't a show last week. I know that wouldn't greatly affect too many people, but the idea is that we do have a live broadcast every Wednesday, usually between 8 and 9 o'clock. So that was due to our guest, our expected guest last Wednesday, Joe Dale, who's a languages technologist in the Isle of Wight.
Are you there, David? Oh, we seem to have perhaps lost David's audio. I think Joe had I think he had appendicitis last week, which hopefully he's recovered from. I'm hoping David can tell us that if he's there. Give me a wee second. I'll ask him on the Skype chat and see if you're there. David, are you about?
Oh, hi John, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Did you? Yeah. Drop the mic.
Yeah. unfortunately Joe is hospitalised, so my understanding is he's on the mend now, so we'll get Joe back in a future show. Again, you were saying, you know, just encouraging folk to go to the Radio Edutalk website, and you can just Google Radio Edutalk, you'll get there straight away, and also the edutalk.cc site. And if you actually go to Radio Edutalk homepage, you'll see that there's a whole host of live shows lined up right up until the turn of the year. So it's really exciting, very diverse contributions as ever, and hopefully we won't have any or very many quiet weeks over the next few months. If you just check that out, and hopefully there'll be shows for every type of listener. Yep. So we're going to be talking about CPD and GLOW tonight, John.
Well, it's been in my mind over the last few days, maybe even a couple of weeks, one or two different things that have come up here and there, so I thought we could start and have a wee talk about that. The first thing that I kind of thinking about quite a lot over the last few days or the last week or so was on this, actually looking at my blog here, way back on Wednesday in the end of October, I was just basically pointing out to a web post by Graham Wegner, I'm not sure if it's Wegner or the Australian educator, a very well known educational blogger, and he was in a blog post basically saying that he was saying Twitter for CPD was low hanging fruit, and his quote, I quoted his, he says Twitter is a low hanging fruit for online thinking and learning, and he cringes inwardly a little when he hears someone pronounce Twitter as the best PD, which I presume is CPD, they've ever had. And he said, I wonder how they've ever had such a barren run through their career for this to be true. And Graham is much more in favour of blogging. And I just sort of was really just pointing this post out on my blog and mentioned the fact that, you know, there's some really rich blogging going on in Scotland at the moment, especially over in the Pedigoo site and people to do with Pedigoo. Kenny Piper, I was pointing to particularly because he's, I think, going quite deeply into his practice as a teacher and doing it live online. But the sort of interesting thing to me was that I got a comment from Joe Wilson, who works for the SQA, and he was saying that, you know, he agreed that Pedigoers were doing a good job, but he says it still feels like the usual suspects who are blogging and tweeting interesting stuff. We need more teachers to confidently own this space and lay down some more positive challenges to the learning community. And this has been a refrain I think we've heard over a number of years. People discussing education, professionals discussing education online is still, would you agree, David, quite a small, limited, a small number of people?
It's really interesting, John. I did pick up on the kind of discussions around Graham's point. It's something I've looked into through my recent studies. I don't know where you want to start with that. Roughly for me, I don't think it's necessarily an education issue. I think it's more to do with notions of communities of practice and silos. And we've talked, the echo chamber was talking about the echo chamber many years ago. And, you know, that part of me certainly, I've very much come from the viewpoint for a number of years now that Twitter has worked for me. It has been phenomenal. Its impact in so many ways, in terms of my practice, my life. It just has worked. And like everybody, you have your doubts and you have your kind of troughs, and you kind of maybe dip out for a while. But there's something, and certainly in recent years, I've consciously decided never to get into that idea about trying to promote the use of Twitter. There's lots of things within education I would promote the use of, but it's to do with education, it's not to do with a basic communication tool. So I don't get into that. I've consciously made a point of not saying to folk, you should really get onto Twitter. It's been wonderful when colleagues I've tried it out, and the vast majority have never taken it in any direction. But those who have kind of found a niche or found a reason to use Twitter and have taken it in their own direction without any guidance from me, maybe just help to get them started. I do find that satisfying. But I've never got into this idea of saying to folk, you really should go onto Twitter. I don't agree that it's the best CPD out there. But it can be a very powerful part of one's CPD. But maybe just finally, just now, John, for me, I'm certainly, again, it still works for me, but this moment in time, I've got a feeling Twitter's almost had its day. It's not going to do the things that some of us thought it might do. No doubt there'll be something different that will come along. I think we've always got to challenge the assumption that there'll be more tech and more online communication, because certainly it could be saturation point for a number of individuals, and where do we go from there? Do we then go back to what might be felt as more authentic, more human interaction? I know there's a lot of research in HE around that, where they've gone massively down VLE routes, and now they're trying to work out how else to engage and to get meaningful learning. So it's absolutely fascinating. The times that we're in. I should say at this moment, you know, we're having a kind of random discussion tonight, John, but I know you put out on Twitter earlier on, it'd be nice if folk could chime in this evening. So, you know, we email address edutalker@hotmail.co.uk, and I know on Twitter you've got the edutalk hashtag, and I know that there's using either of these ways or to direct message you or myself, John, then, you know, people can actually Skype in tonight, or we'll Skype out to folk. Even if people are on landline and mobile phones, then they just need to send that number or Skype name to you or I, John, and we'll try and pull them in. Very interested with Pettigrew. You know, there's a lot of good stuff on there. Again, I'm happy to watch from the sidelines and see how it goes. My one observation, kind of constructive criticism, is that I think there's an aspect to Pettigrew which is like a mini Twitter service, and I don't really understand why you need to have a kind of a set of users or a set of people communicating within a Pettigrew community that sits within Twitter also. I don't quite understand that aspect, but like many people, enjoy the blog posts.
Yeah, that's actually it sort of chimes very much of what I was thinking, because when I got this comment from Joe Wilson, I was in the middle, actually right in the middle of reading another blog post, which was by, I think, a Canadian called Jeff Kane, who he works at a distance education college of Redwoods. Sorry, he's not. He's in the States. I'm just looking at his blog, and he's very interested in connectivism and things like this. And I was reading a post by him called MOOCs and Connective Instructional Design, which I can hardly pronounce, never mind read. But he was talking about working with hospital workers and teaching them to use technology, which is obviously, I'm really interested in how you teach people to use technology. But he was talking about how to teach people to use applications, for instance, when every day, every week, these applications change. They disappear, or, you know, the whole menu set in Word changes, and how do you do this? And how do you keep in touch with people and connect them? And what he seems to have done is set up his classes doing basically practical work. So they had a physical space where students could drop in, and they took them through a set of tools. They signed up for Twitter, they signed up for a bookmarking site, and as they did that, they connected with other people in the course. And he was talking, it was very much based on the connectivist ideas of people learning together. And he's been also influenced by the DS106, my favourite MOOC of the last few years. And how the students then started helping each other and facilitating their own learning and working together. I was thinking about that, and I was also thinking about the way the last session of DS106 I joined in with was organised, where the first part of DS106 is to set up a web blog which you host yourself somewhere, or organise to be hosted somewhere, and you're put in sort of wee mini groups, and those groups are mixed up with real face-to-face students from the university in Mary Washington, and online participants like myself, and you were working in a class of bigger people, but you're put into a smaller group. And I started thinking about this because, as folk probably know, a big push in Scottish education over the last year or so has been this e-portfolio idea. And last year there was a push to get Primary Sevens, who because building the curriculum 5 had to have an e-portfolio, or a profile rather, by the end of the year. And I think there was over 50,000 e-portfolio blogs basically created through Glow last session. And there's now, the last time I talked to anybody involved, there was up to 70,000. And this year, it's a requirement for the S3s to have a profile. Not an e-portfolio, but they need a profile by the end of S3. And I was thinking, it's only 3 or 4 years till the people going into teacher training college will have been these folk. And by the time they get to teacher training college, they'll have used a blog in some sort of way, an awful lot of them. So imagine if they, when they started at the college, one of the first things they did was they were encouraged to set up a blog and connect with other people in their class and their groups. They could also set up Twitter accounts, but I think the thing is, it would be like mini aggregations. So if I was running a class as a lecturer at Jordan Hill, taking a small class, I could set up a blog myself which would aggregate the students in my class. So each student has their own space and they're aggregated into a small class. And as they go through their education, they join other groups and their blogs are pulled in for a while into these groups, or if they're blogging a particular topic, that topic is aggregated. The technology is already in place to do this sort of thing. And the pupils are already learning about tagging and categorising their blogs at school at the moment, because they need to do that for their profiles to work. And then when you left college and you joined a school, for instance, your blog would be aggregated with people who were in that school. And I think by the time people were then fully qualified teachers, they'd be working away, they would have their blog, they would hopefully be blogging regularly, and they would have connections with all these different groups that they would be reading occasionally or regularly and keeping in touch with. And it seems like if you drive it from there, from the start of your college education, the start of your professional development, that there's a much better chance of getting more people engaged actively in communities online than there is by the sort of method that's been tried out for the last few years, I guess, which is just by people evangelising what they do. If it had some sort of official push, the technology is definitely there to sort of do this already, and it can be done in a reasonably small scale. And I just wonder if that's an opportunity 3-4 years time, where we've got all these bloggers leaving school. Maybe they could be encouraged to continue blogging their learning, connecting with other people in groups and diverse groups. If you became interested in something, you join in with that group, your blog is aggregated with that group, and so on and so forth. So I don't know, that was my kind of thinking. I'm humming over a blog post about all that at the moment, based on the sort of idea from Graham that blogs are more important and deeper than Twitter, and the fact that we've got the technology to do it.
Mm-hmm. And Jordan, I think if you're putting together your blog post, you need to think about you know, what's in the National Partnership Group report that was published by the Scottish Government yesterday. You know, this is us now getting into the year of so-called career-long professional learning, and I'll just read out, and incidentally for the benefit of listeners and probably yourself, John, as well, we've got a kind of dedicated panel discussion lined up about this National Partnership Group report, because it has implications for the whole profession, you know, those involved in the initial teacher education and service teachers and leaders and managers. Absolutely important report. It's going to be covered in the Times Ed this week. It's available on the Scottish Government website, and it all comes out of the Donaldson report from almost 2 years ago, I think, that came out. And so we've got a dedicated show just coming up later on this month. If you just give me a second.
21st of November.
21st of November, and they have some panellists lined up. I was thinking about approaching people who were involved in the various subgroups of the National Partnership Group and people close to other, you know, kind of allied developments or associated developments, such as Professional Update at General Teaching Council. But then I thought it would be good to get on the panel some people from across various strands of Scottish education who were, I'm assuming, no, certainly were not formally involved in the whole National Partnership Group process. So we're waiting to confirm one more panellist, but at the moment we have Neil Winton, Stephen Reid and Amanda Corrigan, who are lined up to take part in a panel discussion on the report. Again, if you just Google National Partnership Group report, then you know, you'll get that. But John, I'm just going to read point 47 of the report.
Right.
It shows you how, you know, if you're thinking that this might take a little time to come into place, then again, it might fit in with this kind of timeline that you're describing, from school leavers into further and higher education and then into work. Certainly, I suppose, in the kind of public sector jobs, where we seem to be seeing a lot of a kind of push to reflection and practice and such like, and that seems to be tied in with the kind of proliferation of e-portfolios. So point 47, and I haven't read the report yet myself, but this seems to be the relevant part. A single e-portfolio will be developed that will allow all teachers to document and record the outcomes of learning linked to the professional standards. That's the new professional standards that are going to under consultation. Consultation ended yesterday, so they'll be published in the new year. And the system of professional update being developed by the General Teaching Council. It will be possible to access e-portfolio through GLO and GTCS, the General Teaching Council's portal. Education Scotland and GTCS will work together to ensure the e-portfolio is effective, well-designed and meets the needs of teachers. Also discuss the specifications for the e-portfolio with STEC, that's the Scottish Teacher Education Committee, I believe, and to develop a framework for accreditation, I'm assuming for the e-portfolio, or what's an e-portfolio. Capture the necessary detail of learning that could then be academically accredited to support teachers working towards master level qualifications. So there's lots more fascinating stuff in the report, but what do you make of that, John? Does that fit in with your vision or how you see things going?
Sort of. It probably is a vision, as in something that won't come true, but I just love the idea of people having their own space. So it's not a space that belongs to the university or a college or the GTCE or Education Scotland. It's your own space. And we've already got the tools to do that. We've already got in RSS, and you don't need to understand how RSS works to know that it's a way to pull things and aggregate things together. And I think there's great value in, I'd say, this idea of people owning their own space on the internet and having ownership of that, in the same way as we're trying to give children maybe ownership of their learning. I really like the idea. It might just be that it strikes me as good, but I really like the idea of people with a space that doesn't belong to their employer or anything else like that. So I hope there's room for manoeuvre in this national partnership idea. That's the first thing that strikes me. Maybe a slight anarchist approach to it, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I mean, I've done a lot of reading around kind of designed environments, and there doesn't seem to be too many success stories there where you know, people have maybe done market research, etc., to kind of work out what the learner, the professional as learner, for example, might want in a portal or something like that. And know, there's any shock when there's not great uptake, and I'm not actually talking about anything that's happened necessarily in Scotland. But if you leave people to their own devices, then, you know, they'll need to have an idea of where to look and what the choices are, and to know that they're stable, security's in place, and that the whatever data is punched into, you know, people actually investing something of themselves into the space, that it would then be portable and recoverable. And, are we talking? I don't know whether this is the kind of going a bit too fast or kind of off topic, John, but you know, where are we at with kind of Glue and Glow? I mean, I understand there was a big event there. Was it late last week?
Yeah, I think it was at IDES or someone like that.
IDES, I think, had done some kind of learning technologies event. So I've kind of looked back over some of the tweets from the event, but you need to enlighten me, John. I'm not sure if we ever.
I think. I can maybe loop back around to that after going back to the Twitter idea for a wee minute, but just kind of before that, just talking sort of idealistically, you know, you're saying that the design spaces don't necessarily work, and I think if you give people a choice of spaces and you give them ownership of those, but you also give them an audience, and you give them the audience by putting them in groups as they go through college, say. It's like, I always thought when we started blogging and podcasting in Scotland back in 2005, 2004, 2005, about then, that it was quite easy to get an audience for your pupils because there wasn't that many people. It was quite easy to get an audience of two or three for your blog because there only was two or three other people blogging about education in Scotland. And now there's so many people doing this stuff that what I think they need is not a portal or a place like that, but they need some help to get into a community, and a community like Pedigoo. But if you look at Pedigoo, or you look at, you know, the early people who started blogging, because it seems to be full of people who kind of know what they're about, even though they're the friendliest people in the world and they'll invite you in and suggest you do things, it's still, I think, hard to penetrate. But if that was built into the system, so it's a sort of dual idea, I think. I need that it's built into the system, but it's built into the system to give the participants ownership. And whether it can be done through something like an expansion of Glow or through a portal, I don't know.
I mean, one could argue that we're still talking about designed environments here, or even kind of notions of like contrived collegiality, John. You know, if you just say that, you know, we're going to give we're going to give you a choice of tools or portals or whatever, and you know, it still comes back to, for me, still comes back to that, to the idea of autonomous learner, you know, and actually saying,
yeah.
What if they turn around and say, "Well, I don't want to use any of these tools." So then you come back to, I suppose, you know, what's often happened, which is you know, the way to ensure that all this wonderful blogging takes place within universities or workplaces or whatever is to provide some kind of extrinsic. You know, motivator or whatever. So, you know, you say to people, well, it's a percentage of your marks if you can show that you've collaborated or reflected and such like. And then, as we seem to be moving in certain areas of the public sector in Scotland, that, you know, you have to not only be a reflective practitioner or an evaluative practitioner or whatever, there's a whole load of various concepts there, all kind of building on each other, but you actually have to show that you are, and the way that we want you to show that you're this way or that way is through any portfolio. And you know, that, so to give choice is still kind of bounded choice, because you're still saying to people at the end of the day, you know, you're still getting to a point, John, where you're saying, ah, but you have to.
Right. Well, maybe we don't say you have to. Maybe we say this is a great opportunity. We're going to spend enough time and put enough energy into it to see that people are, hopefully people will get some goodness out of it. Because it's an awful lot of people who, if they get to, you can see the number of people who publish stuff on the internet, even if it's to an audience of a very few people, because it becomes useful to them. And my idea would not be that, you know, you force people into classrooms or into groups. It's just, if you aggregate stuff that people are interested in and you can drop in and out of different aggregations, that would seem to give people a start on a community.
I'm interested in what you're saying, John, because it seems to be, you seem to be arguing for a way of doing things that's seamless and actually efficient. You know, and I've mentioned it before about the fact that everything's going online now. And you know, if I've got banking and, you know, various admin tasks and things like that to do, you know, in the evening, as well as all the admin tasks, which are almost all entirely on screen during the workplace, then, you know, which kind of communities do I want to be participating in the evenings? You know, might be a community of walkers, but a community in some kind of local meeting place or whatever, rather than the continuing to sit in front of a screen. But what you're talking about, as I say, seems to be an efficient way of moving from community to community, those that you need to be in, and migrating everything, you know, almost a kind of touch of a button.
Yeah,
and there's less time that you're faffing about. There's less time that you're moving, you know, digital artifacts and things like that across. So, I mean, that really appeals to me, from the idea that, coming back to, he's taking a joke, Rory Bray, you know, there is no 25th hour in the day. So, you know, that's, I think that's definitely something to be said for that. But I mean, also, John, I'm just wondering about, Do you still see scope for people to continue to join communities and form new communities? I'm just wondering about, like, it's a pedigree, previous communities that we've been part of as well, and there'll be many that you're part of, John, that I'm not aware that you're a member of, but I just wonder whether the door's still open to new people for these kind of, you know, at what point does a community become kind of saturated and the group thinks established there, that in such a way that really it's not appealing to any new people to.
So yeah, that's a big problem, I think. And I think I remember one of the things way back in the flush of enthusiasm for online stuff, I started a website called Open Source CPD. And my idea was that lots of Scottish bloggers at the time would contribute to this wiki. And other people would use it, and you could use it to deliver CPD or just, you know, collect good ideas for using CPD. And it started off because it's the stuff I know about technology, but it was open to other things. And I got a few people who said, oh yeah, that's a really good idea. But I think the bad idea was it was a big ask, because it wasn't people contributing to their own space, it was people having to go out and learn the wiki that I had chosen, that I liked, that technology, and put the stuff in this sort of shared space. And I think the way I'm thinking now is that people would put stuff in their own space, but that would be aggregated into a different space. So once this system, say, had matured, you, me, anybody could set up an aggregation centre. An aggregation centre would just be another blog, and people would join that. And once you've joined, it would just automatically pull in, say you had a Pedigoo community. Now that would be somebody set up a blog called Pedigoo, and it would automatically aggregate other people's blogs who joined and who then, say, categorised their posts or tagged their posts Pedigoo. so that would all just automatically appear there. And you could subscribe to that blog and an RSS reader, and you could be reading stuff. And when you weren't any interested in that community anymore, you would stop reading it. You would stop tagging your posts with this particular tag, and you would drop out, and then seamlessly move on to the, you know, the Ferret Appreciation Society blog, where you would tag your posts ferrets and blog about ferrets, all from your own space. I don't know if it's maybe slightly utopian or something like that, but I can see technically how it works, and I can see that it maybe would have a slightly better chance socially if it was introduced in the right way to professionals as they start off. And it might, I say, work better than this idea of you have to do this particular thing. I don't know.
Yeah. And do you see any of this kind of happening within the what's coming out from the ICT Excellence Group?
Well, the technology's there. I mean, I think in Charlie Love, who's very much involved in that, you've got somebody who has really got a strong understanding of how this sort of thing could work. So we've got, you know, that. And to kind of segue on to the ICT and Equus and stuff, the thing I posted the other week was about, you know, this, that Twitter wasn't as good as blogging. And then on Saturday, I saw a plugin that I thought would be a useful thing for a Glow blog. And I just quickly tweeted, this would be a great thing for a Glow blog. And then I went out for the day. I came back to a huge number of tweets all about this, which had then sort of moved into the ICT for Excellence group and Education Scotland and how Glow was moving forward. And I picked up a whole bunch of really valuable information from the 20 or 40 tweets that had sort of spawned off this story, which kind of rubbed up against my idea of the previous post that I thought maybe Twitter wasn't that powerful compared to a good post. And there was, like I say, an awful lot of good information, interesting information coming out. And I'm actually quite, I would say, almost worried or concerned about the way that Glow is going to develop, because there seems to be two streams at the moment. And the thing that's worrying is that the sort of double transition, perhaps, because at the moment Glow has been taken forward by Education Scotland, and it's changing. And then the ICT for Excellence group are coming in with their recommendations, and I believe they finish up at in December, so they're going to be recommending some things to the minister at that point. And there doesn't seem an awful lot of connect with the two. And already I've seen a lot of people become less interested in Glow and in using it because of the uncertainty. And what we're faced with, or somebody in my position is faced with at the moment, who kind of deals with training teachers and helping teachers and kids use technology, and in particular in the last few years, Glow, that we're saying, well, we've been saying for the last year, it's going to change and we'll tell you soon. And now we know what's happening in the short term, and we're saying, right, it's going to be changing. And then there's this other change. And you can see, for instance, all these e-portfolios, and now believe that they're going to move from the platform that they're in to the new Glow. Some people call it Glow 1.5 or something like that, because it's halfway between the old Glow and the Glow Plus that's coming after that. And then it will move back into WordPress, the blogging system, or recommended that it does when Glow Plus comes about. And there doesn't seem to be, I mean, and again, it's maybe just because I don't understand what's going on fully, but from the people who were joining in with the tweets and things, there doesn't seem to be an awful lot of connect. There doesn't seem to be a well thought out transition between what we've got now and what's coming next. Well, there's a pathway for that, but then there's another break when the ICT and Excellence Glow Plus people come on, and I just wonder, can we afford the series of disconnects and the effect that will have on people? We've already got people using Glow saying it's too difficult to use as an excuse, or it's too clunky as an excuse not to address using ICT. So I'm concerned about this.
John, is your understanding then that WordPress is going to disappear temporarily?
That's what I'm not 100% sure on that, but I believe that they're transitioning all the considerable number, I say 70,000 the last time I heard, ePortfolios will be changed into SharePoint Microsoft blogging solution that is, I believe, been developed so that it'll fit the needs, but it just seems like a fairly awkward step to go from one system and then perhaps back to another system. The whole business just doesn't seem as if there's an awful lot of, I mean, there's bits of joined up thinking, but the joined up thinking doesn't necessarily join together yet. And it seems that this seems worrying. It seems like you can see at the moment one move forward, but then there's this ICT and Excellence group who I think have got some fantastic people and great ideas, but it's the transition is going to be difficult, I think.
John, I think we'll leave it there for this evening, and yep. I suppose it would be great to hear from anyone who's involved in those kind of developments that can put us right or clarify a few matters. I know that, as I said at the top of the show, we've got lots of fantastic guests coming up, so I'll just wrap up just by saying that next Wednesday we'll have a pre-recorded interview between myself and Joe Jones, who's the head of Cuerva Coaching in Scotland. So he's going to be talking about youth football coaching, or a particular approach to football coaching that's taking off in Scotland. So that'll be broadcast on Wednesday the 14th of November at 8 o'clock in the evening, and then we've got a really big show lined up for 5:30 PM on, John, if you can correct me, is it Wednesday the 5th of December?
Oh, this is Dylan Williams.
Dylan Williams, yeah. So I suppose I'll be repeating that a few times to folk, but if anybody's familiar with the work of Dylan, then you know many different areas of learning communities and formative assessment, so many areas in which he's written and been recognised for his excellence in academic work. And then if you've got any questions, just start to fire them into John or I, and we can put them to Dylan on the around tea time on the 5th of December. So lots going on, and lots of other guests to get in touch with, John, to line up for the new year.
I'm looking at Wednesday the 12th of December, where there's two shows, the looks of it, and there's a Scottish food and drink special, so I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, puts the pressure on, John.
I was just thinking I could have a wee dram or something like that for this Scottish food and drink special.
Yeah, we'll need to make that a live one, John. We'll need to go somewhere in
Oh, we could do that.
Broadcast from some kind of establishment. So we'll leave it at that. Yep. So if you've been listening to tonight's show and you want to get in touch with John or I, just email edutalker @hotmail.co.uk, or pop something up on Twitter before it fades into obscurity, and using the hashtag edutalk. You can also leave a comment at the website edutalk.cc. So it's good night from me, John.
Me too. Cheers, folks.
Take care.